The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support from True Leaf Market is helping to keep On the Ledge thriving and growing. True Leaf Market are the indoor and outdoor growing experts, chosen by more than 500,000 customers for their seed and gardening needs. True Leaf Market offers a great range of plant seeds, from houseplants like the polka dot plant and the asparagus fern, to vegetables and flowers to grow in the garden. And when it comes to kits for growing microgreens, wheatgrass and sprouting seeds, True Leaf Market's range of starter kits will provide everything you need to get started. And all their products come with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee, so I know you won't be disappointed. US listeners, you can get 10% off your first purchase at trueleafmarket.com now using the offer code ONTHELEDGE. So go to trueleafmarket.com and enter the offer code ONTHELEDGE for 10% off. True Leaf Market, bringing the seed you need. Hello and welcome to On the Ledge, which is coming to you live and leafy in a late night recording from deepest Bedfordshire in the UK. Yes, I'm recording this in my bedroom very late at night after my kids are well and truly in bed and fast asleep. So I may end up channeling Jack Killian from Midnight Caller, that show from the late 80s about the radio host with the gravelly voice. Well, you're probably too young to remember that show. Anyway, this week I'm bringing you an interview with garden designer Martha Krempel, whose love of houseplants led her to design her own indoor plant haven, featuring some seriously big plants. Safe to say, I was completely captivated. I'll also be answering a question, or rather asking you to answer a question about keeping track of watering plants. Thanks to my new Patreon supporters this week, Nikki, who became an On the Ledge superfan, and Joel, who became a crazy plant person. Find out how to support On the Ledge in the show notes at janeperrone.com. And thanks so much to those of you who've sent me the most wonderfully funny, touching and sometimes tear-jerking voice memos and messages about what On the Ledge means to you. I really can't wait to share these with everyone in my 100th episode, but there's still time to contribute. Just record me a voice memo on your phone and email that to ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com. And if you're feeling shy and you don't want to say the words out loud, you can always just tap out some words for me to read out and send me them in an email. Now let's hear my interview with designer Martha Krempel. Martha has been designing gardens since 2014, and a love of houseplants led her to redesign her own home to accommodate lots of statuesque plants, including this very fine succulent euphorbia planted into a bed at ground level, so it looks as if it's thrusting up through the floor. I was delighted to be able to visit Martha last month and find out how she dreamed up the space, how she picked the plants, and why she loves continuing to play with different arrangements of pots and foliage. Here's Martha to explain the layout of her indoor and outdoor garden. And I should say, it's really worth looking at the pictures in the show notes while you listen to this interview. And you'll also hear a few noises from Violet the Labrador, owned by Martha, in this episode too.
When we were designing the house, we said, right, we wanted that building there was always there, and that was going to be my studio. Mm-hmm. And so we said, let's have a link building. And I said, brilliant. Let's have it so it faces west. Make it an indoor garden. I don't mean growing from the ground, but let's put loads of pots in there. Mm-hmm. And have it facing west so that we can get the evening light, so it'll be mm-hmm. hot all afternoon in here. And then we've put a green roof is on there as well.
Oh, okay.
And the idea was that you can, even though we were nicking a substantial part of the garden, it didn't really matter because it itself was a garden, and therefore there was no feeling of loss of garden.
Mm.
And so that's kind of how the idea came about. And then I started maybe with this one. I think I bought that one first. And then gradually there are just more and more additions. I think I bought the Strelitzia next, quite a small plant.
It's happy. Let's put it that way.
I
it's
think they're
huge.
All quite, they're all quite happy. It hasn't flowered yet because it's the white one. It's the... is it Nicolai?
Yes,
Nicolai. The white one's Nicolai. Yeah. And it hasn't flowered yet. It may never flower. Oh, God, he's reaching the roof. That's the other thing as well.
Yes, you've got some height getting going on there, haven't you?
Well, it's quite interesting because what they'll... I always think that plants will go, oh, I'm sensing a barrier. I'll turn and go like that. But our cactus hasn't really done that.
Yes, you've got these very impressive cacti... in pots. Were you a houseplant aficionado before this moment, or is this something that's just come about?
And actually, I mean, as a kid, I have to tell you, when I was 13, I did start working in a commercial growers, and that's kind of where it all started. And they lived, say, four doors down. I grew up in Yorkshire, East Yorkshire, and they were four doors down from my house. And all my family worked. We all worked there from the age of 13, on a holiday job. And so the girls worked. I was growing chrysanthemums and dahlias, and. My brother's got to do the gooseberries and got scratched to death. And she had a sense of fair play, the owner. Anyway, so that's where that all came from. So, I mean, as a kid, I probably had a couple of spider plants, but nothing fab. Mm. And my mum did grow indoor plants, actually, sort of funny ones, bit sort of variegated leaves, and things that I wouldn't be interested in. Mm. Not big chunky leaves. That kind of wouldn't fit in our house. There were too many of us. I've always just loved it. I love, you know, look cute. I suppose quite inspired by anywhere where you've got a significant, any country where you've got a significant palm house, you know, where they're really, really growing. I always think, God, that's so impressive. And it really does teach you, because it's quite a commitment, isn't it? I mean, every day I walk down here, and I have to say, last night I did actually wash all the leaves. Because you were coming down.
Yeah, well, it's. I have to say, they're all looking... That is one job that is... some people love it, some people find it a chore.
Well, I've hardly ever done it. And we had some... I suppose we've had some dusty work done within the last 12 months in the house. Mm. So it was about time they got dusted. but I have to say, I actually quite enjoyed it last night. It was quite therapeutic.
You've got to see it as a mindful activity as opposed to a task that you have to
totally
achieve.
But also the plants, they just love it, don't they? Also, the other thing was, one thing I did do with these plants, I quite often put indoor bulbs. God, she's annoying. I did put indoor bulbs. She just wants
Violet,
to chew. She thinks
she
we're having
chew.
Fun.
Oh, so she's wants, just wanting your attention.
No, she wants a chew so she can join in the fun, because she sees a chew as celebratory. Let me just give her a chew to shut up.
Violet is making demands. Well, this is heavenly, I have to say. I'm sitting in here with beautiful, surrounded by beautiful plants, and looking out onto a lovely patio garden.
The way I treat the plants in here is different to how I kind of treat the cactus. Because the cactus is kind of... The pit is... I definitely play around with what normally would live outdoors and what goes indoors in there. And so recently I've got these Tasmanian tiger euphorbias.
Oh, yes.
I've never seen them before. And I came across them in my regular supplier recently. And I thought, oh, God, I've got to put them in the pit. So previously the pit had... succulents which were creeping out across the floor, but it was driving me a bit insane because it wasn't neat enough. And so those are, hopefully we'll keep them going, but I mean, if they start to struggle, I will take them out and put them in a garden somewhere and put something more appropriate in. But I see that as an area where I can play and mess around with the concept of indoors and outdoors.
And it's lovely. It kind of almost feels I want to say sort of gives me a Spanish kind of feel, or a Mediterranean kind of feel, that idea that you've got this within your home, you've got this flush with floor level, this planting area.
Yeah.
That's a really nice idea. When you first did that, and you first, how big was that euphorbia when you first put that in? Was it
so
smaller than that? It's huge.
It's really big. It was about, I think it was about 6 foot.
Oh, wow.
So we put that in only probably maybe just less than 2 years ago. So he's quite happy. He's called Pablo, by the way.
He's got a great name.
He's growing faster than I was expecting him to grow, but that is because I you know, if you water your cactus more, they do grow more, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, people think, oh, they don't need much water. Well, it depends, you know. Indeed. Depends how hot it is in your house. That's west and that's south. It's baking in here.
So he's getting a nice full sun.
Well, I filtered the sun by putting that tree right there because I had to cool us down because we were too hot, which is the reason I chose to put that tree there.
That's a beautiful... Is that which kind of birch is that?
A Betula nigra heritage. It is. I love it.
So when you were choosing these plants, were you... Just as a garden designer, were you just looking at the forms and shapes and thinking that's going to work, or did you do research, or how did that process work?
So I did my research. So I went online, chose just that. It becomes an obsession, obviously. Anybody who likes indoor plants is just obsessively looking at them. So I had a whole tropical subtropical section on Pinterest that was just for me to look at. I might have shared it now as a thing, but for me at the time it was just
I totally know what you mean.
God, and literally going, oh, look at that. Showing husband, what do you think? And then gathering millions of them. And then also what I found was I couldn't get everything I wanted.
Yes.
You know, that was a big issue for me. So I would be just going all over the place, just buying stuff. But generally, one of my main suppliers, they get stuff from everywhere. Mm-hmm. So she was brilliant. I would give her my list and she'd just gradually get things for me. And then I would go to the market, or I'd go to the Palm Centre, or I'd go, I think this is from the Palm Centre, the Schnitzia. And then just randomly then, where I would go, I'd go, oh, I'd see it from 30 paces, the one that I want, you know, and go, oh, that's for me. Yes. And then like elephant ears is coming. Now, where am I going to put it? I have no idea.
Yep.
But it's coming and it's quite big.
Yes,
so I'm going to have to make room. So my husband's now got a collection at his office as well, ones that I've come to want so much anymore.
That's great.
Ones that can cope with low light levels, because he hasn't got as much light. That was the other thing about building this, to have that sort of level of light meant that I could grow different things and get things going as well. Like, so I've got some little teeny wisteria seedlings going there. I'm not a fab one for getting things going from seed, but I think... Now that I'm really comfortable with the regime of taking care of these properly, I think I would do more now. People do give me seed packets and go, oh, I thought you might like these. And I think, no, it's not for me.
It's a lot. I mean, you know, I encourage listeners to do, we do a sew-along thing every spring where I encourage listeners to sow seeds. But, you know, there's no denying that it's a lot of work. Like you do end up with a lot of plants, which is good, and you end up with plants that are from the start adapted to your conditions. But then you end up with a lot of plants, and I've got all these cacti that I grew last year, and I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna have to find some homes for these because I've just run out of room.
That's the thing.
You learn as you go, and you know, things go wrong, things fail, and you go back to the drawing board. But that's okay. Now, at this point, we went off on a rather long detour about birch trees and quince trees. And lovely though that chat was, it really wasn't houseplant related. So I'm going to bring you back into the interview where we start talking about Pablo. Yes, Pablo, that's the name of Martha's immense and wonderful succulent euphorbia.
It's about a 70 centimetre pit.
Okay.
It's been tanked.
Right.
So that was designed as we did. We knew we were always going to. It was actually meant to go all the way along here, the planting pit. But we just felt at the time we had that other table which was wider, so we were struggling a bit. But anyway, so that's says Laria nitida, Festuca glauca, intense blue. And then that's Euphorbia Tasmanian tiger.
That euphorbia is lovely. Normally not a fan of variegated euphorbias, I am a massive fan of euphorbias. I have a lot, but one I hadn't come across.
I think you forgive it that because of that pale.
Yeah, the flowers. Yeah, it's great. So, do you ever worry that somebody's going to come in, you know, after a drunken night out and sort of lean against this, and it's all going to go crash?
Poor Pablo. Or is it not all the time?
He's tough. He's not bothered,
but he's all right. He's still producing babies on a regular basis.
I can see.
Yeah,
you can see he's happy.
He got a good wash yesterday. It was interesting. I had to do it with rubber gloves on because God, it hurts.
I mean,
that's not a very sore one either.
No,
that's a bit of sponge left over on him.
It's nice having a plant that's taller than you. I think that's there's something in that.
It was, I have to say, it was about there when we first put him in. Yeah, but he is slightly leaning, which I'm surprised at. I thought he would grow towards the sun.
Yes.
He's leaning away. But I think that's because this is heavy.
Oh, yes, that is heavy.
So, and then this is one I was saying. Do you remember I was saying about plants? You think they'll go towards the glass and then turn away. So he's starting to, he's growing towards the glass.
He's going to bust through there
eventually. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and what do people say when they come in here and see this? Are some people who aren't into houseplants a bit disapproving of the fact? Or do they just think it's interesting? Or
most of our friends love it and they think it's fab and fun. I did have a meeting with some clients who I think they were a bit surprised because they quite like in their garden they wanted an extremely formal layout. And then I've given them a crazy bit with an Acer garden to go mad with colour because they wanted white and green to start, and then I've given them this other bit. But I think they were like, oh, and then they said it's very Martha, so I'm not sure what that meant. I think it's slightly insulting.
Is that, yeah, thanks guys.
I think it's slightly insulting, so I've just ignored them.
Oh, that's great. Well, it's a really lovely space. And has it made a difference to you in terms of
how we feel?
General life having this plant-filled space?
People who aren't... So my son had a maths tutor, and he just said, I just can't get over how green it is in here. You've totally inspired me, you know. And I think, gosh, he's right. I mean, that's how we feel when we come in, you know, in the evening. You know, because it's quite low maintenance, the garden, because I planted very densely, and so there's not often much to do apart from a bit of tidying up, and so I don't come in and go, oh, I've got that work to do. It doesn't feel like that. It just feels great. And then when we come in here, you are just surrounded by greenery, so I presume our stress levels go down the minute we walk in the door. I mean, I couldn't say that specifically, but that's what you're hoping for.
Yeah, that is the aim.
It's really nice to sit amongst plants. There's no doubt about it. And then to look out on it, you know, and then something is happening every season for sure.
So do you hope that you might have one or two clients who see this, especially as you've won an award for it, who go, yes, I'll have one of those, please.
And then it's less... I mean, I have got a friend down the road and she does just want me to do something like this in her front garden, which I will do. But... yeah, I think that would be nicer, so that I get asked to do things which make me happier or more my style. Yeah, I've certainly got friends who've come here for parties or come for dinner. They go, can you come and sort out? Like my friend's she's an upholsterer and she's got a studio in the back of the garden. She went, right, please come and sort out my studio garden. So we're on site already doing that now. And they've just gone with what my planting suggestions were based on having been here, so that it does pay off having somewhere that people can come to and go, oh yeah, I love the way that works, just do that, or that, do a version of that, whatever it is, you know, because each garden's got different, you know, climate in the garden, it's different, isn't it, everywhere is so different, and especially where you've got the hills around it, the way water drains, particularly around Cricklewood area, is most unusual. I think we have underground streams.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, in our old garden, which was in the Makespeare Conservation Area, there was definitely a supply of water coming from somewhere towards the house. And the previous occupant, like a lady who'd lived there for 30 years previously, one day turned up in our garden, and it was really unfortunate because we just removed this spectacular, enormous conifer 2 days before. And she walked in and she went, where's my tree? What have you done with my tree? She said, do you know Angelina Ballerina, that story? She sounded like the the mother or the grandmother or the something on that, or the tutor. Anyway, I said, I'm really sorry. It had to go. It was nearly the width of the garden at the base. Anyway, she said, there's definitely a water source in here, and that's what I'd found, this sort of soggy patch prior to removing the tree, it has to be said. But anyway, so I try and do my version, but suitable for each client's.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Also sponsoring this week's show is Babbel, the language learning app that helps you to speak a new language with confidence. I wish I'd had Babbel when I was learning languages in high school because I found it really tough. And now that I'm that bit older, I'd love to speak Italian fluently because, if you hadn't guessed from my last name, I do have a bit of Italian ancestry. But I've always struggled to get past the first few phrases, and that's where Babbel comes in. Because their convenient lessons are just 10 to 15 minutes long. Each lesson is lovingly crafted by a language expert, not a machine. And Babbel's teaching method has proven to be effective across multiple studies. You can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, Polish, and of course Italian. And before you know it, you'll be speaking a new language with confidence. So why not try Babbel for free? Go to babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, B-A-B-B-E-L.com, or download the app to try for free. Babbel, speak a new language with confidence. And now let's get back to my interview with Martha. And I wanted her to cast her designer's eye over the houseplant industry and its future. And what do you think about this? I mean, it is a trend. We're undergoing this renaissance of indoor plants.
Yeah, yes.
It's obviously 70s. going back to the 70s. What do you see as the future for that as a designer with your design eye? Do you think that's going to make garden designers generally sort of look more to indoor plants when they're designing a project?
I think some people just won't be bothered with it at all. In 2013, I really honestly said to a friend of mine, I think the next big thing is indoor gardening because people don't have gardens and they want plants so much. They want to be surrounded by greenery. They want to care for them. People do want to care for them. So I think two things. Some people will incorporate it into their designs, and I think some people won't. But I think the knock-on effect of there being the opportunity to grow more interesting things in the house will have an impact on the garden, and I think we'll see more subtropicals going back outside again. Whereas that was big in the 80s, 90s, wasn't it? Big tropical kind of gardens. I think I've already done a garden where I've got a lot of tropical things in there. I've done bananas, and we've done fan palms, and you know, the client goes on holiday all the time to Asia, and she said, "This is what I want, mixed in with British native trees, please." Great, love it. It actually turned out quite well. At first I was thinking, oh god, it's quite a deal, but actually, have you ever been to Abbotsby Subtropical Garden?
I haven't. I would love to.
Oh my god, I go there quite a lot because it's close. We go down to Devon and I can go that way. I love it there, and I photograph it every time, and every time it's exciting. And so so I kind of did a lot of my choices based on how those kind of things work together. I think that'll be a knock-on effect.
And what about Instagram? I don't know if you're on Instagram. Do you see that as you being an influencer on there, or other people influencing you in terms of what you're looking at? And
two-way process for sure. But I don't think I'm a big influencer. I mean, I don't always put my gardens up there. I more often will put gardens I visited, or it's always landscape for me put up there, because I find that the most inspiring thing. Not just the way little plants work together, but just huge shapes in the landscape and mountains and the colour of the sky, you know, which is always incredible. Have you seen the sky today, by the way?
I know. The sky is amazing today. After all this rain, we're having a very... I was walking along the road, and it almost felt sort of beach-like or coastal somehow when I was walking up there. I thought, gosh, it really feels like the seaside today. Yeah, I think it's the fresh air.
I think it's because it's still quite fresh, isn't it? It's quite sharp.
It's lovely. It's a beautiful thing. And I mean, if you were sort of advising somebody who had a space that they wanted to fill with plants, as a designer, you are coming at this from a very different angle from most of us. This isn't a massive space, but you've got quite a lot of big plants in there, in here. I think people are scared of big plants sometimes because they think they're going to take over. But I sometimes think if you have lots of tiny plants, it makes the space feel more smaller.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Does it,
what are your tips for sort of for choosing plants, aside from the kind of cultural requirements?
But yeah, sure. Oh, I would definitely always go for one that does that, so a big one, a big arching number, and then one that does that, so a dome shaped. And
yes.
then you could have one little one that's doing something really interesting coming out at a weird angle. I would say don't put any spiky ones anywhere near where you're going to be walking. You just or dogs having crashing into them. You just don't want that. So I tend, my spiky ones are off the floor mainly.
Yes.
But I have got that one there. But that one I might have to move if it gets too much bigger. We'll see what happens there. I said just it. My main choices are it's A, the leaf shape. So how do the leaves work together with the other things you've got in there? And I'm quite strict about colour. It's mainly green. I did buy a purple leaf plant, which is in my daughter's bedroom, and I just thought, I can't have that there. It's got to go. So it's gone back up. It's gone out of the way. And so, but I have that ensete there. So I'm allowing that purple and green combo. But that's about it. I wouldn't... And I don't really like flowering ones either that much, unless it's an aloe. That's fine. Anything deserty that's flowering, yeah, perfect. Favourite place, the desert.
Yeah, because in variegation is so big now. You know, I mean, variegation in houseplants, people are seeking that. People are seeking variegated Swiss cheese plants and things. It's so popular. I mean, I'm a bit
I'm probably not that keen on it, actually.
Yeah, I think I'm a bit of a sort of a magpie when it comes to plants, in that I just think something's really cool, so I want it, as opposed to thinking, how is this going to fit with my overall scheme?
Yeah.
which is probably my downfall, but I guess...
I do move them around quite a bit.
Do you you rearrange? I was going to say, because you've got big plants, but is that because you like just seeing different ensembles of plants, or just because you get bored?
I rearrange them sometimes because they have grown, and therefore I need to reconfigure how they work with other things or the space walking through. Because actually, I definitely knock this one every time we walk through, but I don't think he minds too much. I think I do like change, or it comes about because I've brought a new one in, and therefore we have to reorganise. If I see, for example, that's a foxglove tree over there in that pot. Now I had that indoors for a while because it was tender and growing, and then I popped it out the other day, and the foxes have peed on it, it's burning it. So I'm going to have to do something different. But basically,
how do foxes get in here though?
Okay,
we've got this is interesting because I can't imagine it's tall walls here.
Yeah.
Oh, over the top of that roof. Really?
I think the neighbours possibly got their bins. So maybe they're jumping on the bins and then because I work in there.
Yeah, so
I work late. So I can hear them on the roof and then I know they're on here.
Oh, I see they're on the green roof.
I think they're coming for a drink and the irrigation goes on. So the irrigation goes on when the light just drops in the sky. So they're on there, and then I found them in here, and then I'm cleaning up poo every day just here.
I'm going to
pressure wash it, and then when I knock on the glass, he uses my fireplace as steps to get out. So that's insult to injury.
Urban living and urban wildlife is another consideration.
Whole other level.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I don't really mind them sleeping on the roof, but I suspect they've done something, because there's a part of the irrigation that isn't working. So I suspect they're chewing, or they've done something, because they think the wires are worms, which is really annoying.
Yes, we have to live with these different challenges.
Yeah, we do. We do indeed. Yeah.
Well, it's been fantastic to have a look around your wonderful garden, indoor and out, Martha. And thank you very much. I'm most
welcome.
Inspired. Martha won an SGD award, that's the Society of Garden Designers here in the UK, for her garden. And it's much deserved, because this really is a wonderful space. Do check out the show notes for details about Martha and her award and what she gets up to in terms of other garden design work. And now it's time for question of the week. And this one, well, I just really, it's for my own benefit. I'm being rather selfish here. But I do occasionally look at the hashtag plant Twitter on Twitter, not surprisingly. And there was one post there by somebody called Sarah that really caught my attention because it addresses a question that I've been wondering about myself recently. Sarah says, "Tell me, plant Twitter, our apartment is getting more and more filled with plants. What's the best way of keeping track of which ones need water? Watering, alarms, reminders, weekly schedule, an app, which daily plant check-ins. Don't want my babies to die." Now, this is interesting. As I revealed in my Hilton Carter interview, my approach to watering right now is that, as you can tell from the fact that I'm up late at night recording this, is just chuck some water on when I get a moment. But it would be really great to have some kind of system in place to keep track of things. So I'd love to know from you guys, who are no doubt way more organised than me, what do you use? Do you have an app? Do you have a spreadsheet? Do you just rely on sticking your finger in the dirt and finding out which ones need watering that way? I would really love to know what methods you use to keep on track of what's happening with your houseplants and when. So really, this is not a question that I'm answering myself. I'm throwing it out to you as the audience to please help me answer this one. And if we get some good suggestions, I shall pass them on to Sarah. And obviously, if you've got a question for On The Ledge, you can drop me a line. I've had lots of plant ID questions this week and lots of plants with crispy leaves. It must be the time of year. But I'd love to hear from you. ontheledgepodcast@gmail.com is the way to go. And I will do my very best to answer your question. I've got a few tricky questions that I'm seeking out some expert help for. So if your question hasn't been answered, don't despair. I will try to get to you as soon as I can. Well, that's all for this week's show. I'll be back next Friday for episode 98, getting perilously close to the 100th episode, aren't we? And in the meantime, have a fabulously foliage-filled week. In the meantime, I'm going to go and get some shut-eye. Take care, plant fans. Bye!
The music in this episode was Roll Jordan Roll by the Joy Drops, An Instrument, The Boy Called Happy Day Gakana by Samuel Corwin, and Overthrown by Josh Woodward. With ad music from the Heftone Banjo Orchestra, featuring the tracks Whistling Rufus and Dill Pickles. All the music in today's show is licensed under Creative Commons. See janeperrone.com for details.